With many, many apologies to Shakespeare, we ask, what's in a political name? Arizona's had its share of familiar-sounding politicos, from Dean Martin to Paul Newman to Jerry Lewis, and this fall there's a congressional candidate named Cesar Chavez. The candidate changed his name from Scott Fissler. He had run unsuccessfully for office under that name. Catherine Alonzo, founding partner of the campaign consulting firm Javelina, says political branding isn't all that uncommon from efforts in the business world, and she says that includes a candidate's name.
Any candidate has a slew of things at the beginning that makes up who they are as a person, what your background is, your name, and lots of things that you have to sort of piece together as part of the story. Some candidates have a name that's really going to be an asset to them, and you leverage it in a different way than if you have a name that's harder to remember, harder to pronounce. People can't tell as much from you from your name. And if you have a really well-known name, a name that's been, you know, really associated with progressive American history, then obviously that is an asset. But it's one of the tools in the toolbox.
I mean, do voters really pay attention to, you know, I think of politicians in Arizona, people like Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis and Paul Newman, who are, you know, those are their names, but they're obviously, those names are known for other people. Does that in any way play on voters' minds when they're deciding for whom they're going to vote?
I think it can. You know, I think in a crowded ballot, your eyes may be drawn to a name that is familiar to you for other reasons. You know, when you're branding, you're trying to get your name to stick in people's heads. So if that name sticks in people's heads anyway for other reasons, then that is an asset and a benefit. I don't believe that voters, when they supported Paul Newman, believed they were voting for Paul Newman, the actor. You know, so I think other than really drawing that name out of the crowd on a crowded ballot, I don't think that it moves a large number of people. And then I think where it has the greater impact is the races that are less well-known and voters have less information about.
I mean, do you think there are any voters who live in Congressional District 7 who might think they're voting for the Cesar Chavez?
I don't. I think that there will be voters that notice the name that they may not have noticed if the individual that's running as Cesar Chavez, formerly known as Scott Fissler, if he was listed on the ballot as Scott Fissler, then I think that he would potentially get less attention. But I don't think, because of all the other things you need to run as a successful candidate, I think that that isn't going to translate into a large vote share for him.
Do candidates handle it differently if their name is familiar for a reason other than politics versus a reason that is for politics? For example, someone like Laura Pastor or Justin Johnson, who are the children of well-known Arizona politicians who happen to run against each other for Phoenix City Council. Does it matter for what the name is known?
I don't think so. I think that that recognition is what's important. Now, I think where it does matter is when your name is known within politics and more is attached to that name. You know, and to use the Paul Newman example again, the associations with the actor Paul Newman doesn't translate into any kind of assumptions about ability to do the job well. Whereas I think if you're running on a family name that has been in politics, there's an association with that other person's achievements, platforms, what they've brought to the community. So I think that a well-known name within politics translates into greater support. But that, even then, it's not the name that does it. It's the base support that already exists at the beginning of your race.
Catherine Alonzo is founding partner of the Phoenix-based campaign consulting firm Javelina.